the Final Play Podcast welcomes you to the following presentation of the NFL. Bit of Joe Buck and Tony and Troy Aikman this time.
Oh, who doesn't love Joe Buck? Joe Buck. Hello,
Joe
everyone.
Buck's the man.
Welcome
to... He does everything. He does baseball. He does the NFL.
Everyone knows Joe Buck. That's why he's got like 9 million. At least, yeah, he's got like 9 million Emmys, daytime Emmys. He's just, yeah, it's Joe Buck. Hello, everyone. Welcome to week 15 of our NFL podcast. Week one of an injury-riddled, sorry, I'll say that again, a COVID-riddled week. God damn.
Wow,
it's
like, yeah.
It's wrecked these games. It's, if you're in fantasy, it's wrecked your fantasy. God, oh my God, the timing.
Yeah, no, it played havoc with a lot of, I'd say, with a lot of fantasy lineups and, you know, games being delayed and pushed back to Tuesday, which is Wednesday our time. And, yeah, just play, you know, and news flash. I've stated previously that the team who comes into the playoffs in the reddest of hot form is going to win the Super Bowl. I retract that statement. The team that's going to win the Super Bowl is the team that's least affected by COVID.
So I said ages ago, and it kind of reigns true in every sport. Team that's the healthiest, which also means COVID, absolutely, it will win. So we'll go through the scores. The first game was a Friday game between the Chiefs and the Chargers, and the Chiefs won an OT, 34-28. The Colts beat the Pats, 27-17. Even though it's funny, we'll talk about that game later, but even though they're not actual divisional rivals, those two teams just don't like each other.
No, it's just, they
it's
don't.
Interesting.
That goes back to Tom Brady and Peyton Manning.
Certainly does. The Bills, although they love each other now, but that's a whole different story. The Bills beat the Panthers 31-14. The Lions, just on fire this month, beat the Cards 30-12.
What are they doing?
They're sacrificing that number one pick. I know that's exactly what they're doing. We said this last year with the Jets, and the Jets screwed themselves. But anyway,
Jets could have Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, they could have. But they got Zach Wilson, and that's the next game that they lost against the rampaging Dolphins, 31-24. The Cowboys beat the Giants, 21-6. The Steelers beat the Titans, 19-13. The Texans beat the Jags, 30-16. Bengals beat the Broncos, 15-10. The 49ers, impressive. Another impressive team, beat the Falcons, 31-13. The Packers beat the Ravens 31-30. Your Saints, clearly Tom Brady's kryptonite, because that's now four times.
Regular season kryptonite, anyway.
Well, that's now four times that he's lost to the Saints in the space of 2 years, 9-0.
In the regular season.
In the regular season.
And the only game that matters is the one that happened last year in the first round of the playoffs last year. That's the only one that matters.
So we skip then to Tuesday's games, because there was Tuesday and Wednesday games for us in Australia. The Tuesday games, the Raiders beat the Browns 16-14. The Vikings beat the Bears 17-9. The Rams beat the Seahawks 22-10. And the Eagles beat their divisional rivals, Washington Football Team, 27-17.
Another COVID ravaged game. Even though that game was pitched back the furthest, Washington was still just injury, just COVID riddled. It's like 26 players on the COVID list.
We'll go back up the top. The Chiefs beating the Chargers. This was, it was a divisional game. It ended up being, even though it was a fun game, and ended up being an OT. This was, basically to me at least, the Chiefs saying, "Don't forget about us. Like, we're still one of the Super Bowl contenders."
And that's how it came across. Favorites.
Well, they have to be now, surely. which is ridiculous. Where they were like literally what, one, probably 2 months ago. It's absolutely ridiculous. But this game, like they use their superstars. They use Travis Kelce, they use Tyreek Hill, and Mahomes got over 400 yards. That's everything was exactly what
a career high for Kelce, 191 yards.
God, he's been like, but if you've got him in your fantasy, you would have loved this game. Especially
this was an explosion for him.
He hasn't really done much this year, except for sort of this. He's been,
as a fantasy scorer, he's been a little probably below what his lofty standards are. But this week was just as an offensive explosion. The Chargers knew they needed points, mm-hmm. and they acted like it a lot, especially in the first half. Went for fourth and goal on their opening drive, didn't get it. Later on in the half, basically the final play of the half, again, fourth and goal, go for it, don't convert. So they knew they needed points, and it's like what a lot of teams sort of have done over the last few years against Kansas City is it's points aren't enough, that you can't come away, especially from the red zone, with field goals. You need sixes, you need sevens. You need touchdowns, otherwise you're just not going to win. And for this game to get pushed into overtime was a testament to how the Chargers sort of play, especially in that second quarter. Like that, yeah, they did well enough. And it was just, yeah, it was a crazy game.
Well, they come in to me with a plan of a run game, because Kansas City's like run or, you know, the rush sort of defense that they have isn't clearly as good as their secondary. And it all, I mean, it really did work for the most part. They did get two touchdowns and over 190 yards. And, you know, Herbert was protected the whole time without getting sacked. So for the most part, it worked. I just think what let them down was not their frontline defense, because Joey Bosa was, again, for me, massive, but it was their secondary that let them down.
Yeah.
They do have a secondary, but I think he went off, Derwin James, he went off pretty early, I believe.
I think he did, actually. I think he went off in the second quarter.
Yeah, so that kind of would have hurt him. I think he did.
That would have hurt. Look, the thing that, like, usually most NFL games come down to, you know, three or four plays that are the difference, especially in close games like this. I thought the biggest play, you wouldn't have realized it when it happened, but, you know, as the game sort of progressed on, was, you know, again, it was that last fourth and goal. Like I said, just before the half, Jared Cook, he's got to catch that. He's got to catch that ball. It was right on his fingertips. It's easy for him to catch, and he just bobbled it right on the goal line. It's like, nah, you have to catch that. You have to catch that.
I think that
proved, because I'm pretty sure that the Chargers got the kickoff in the second half as well, to start the second half. So that would have been just perfect for them to go, you know, to go into the half, you know, buoyed by that, and, you know, possibly with 21 points on the board against a Chiefs defense that, like you said, you know, has been fairly good as of late. I think over the last four or five games, they're only averaging like 12 points. Like, their opponents are only averaging like 12 points per game. So, you know, for the Chargers to sort of, you know, put together 28 points against this Chiefs D is impressive. But you just can't keep leaking points like that. And I thought that Jared Cook drop in the red zone on the 1 yard line, he would have waltzed in for a touchdown untouched. Was a massive critical play, you know, in the context of that game, even though it's to end the half.
Yeah, I completely agree. Because the Chiefs can score points quickly. They do score points quickly.
When they're in the mood, they score in bunches, and it's quick.
Yeah, and it's very quick. Exactly right. So when you have something on a platter like that, you really need to capitalize. On you, I guess. Again, it was their secondary. That last touchdown by Kelce, which was just a simple out route. And then he's I don't know how, but he's going an out route, and then he's just darted across to the left to get the touchdown, pretty much untouched. And it was three or four players. But that's just their secondary. That's,
it was an amazing sort of, bit of footwork. Just sort of stepped back, had to do some work, off the right foot, had everyone beat.
And he's massive, and he had to do some work. But, man, they you know, there was three or four bodies around. They still couldn't touch him, which is ridiculous.
Couldn't lay a finger on him.
So they're going good. They're 10-4. They should win the division. I mean, I think that's pretty cut and dry that they'll end up winning the division at the end of the day. Well, I thought this team was going to win the division, and it looks like it's hard to say because going off the results, they may not win the division. That's the Pats losing to the Colts 27-17. It's just
no thanks to Carson Wentz.
Sorry?
But no thanks to Carson Wentz.
Oh, no. Of course, no thanks to Carson Wentz. It's all thanks to... And the thing is, and I think he realized, it looks like he realizes that it's a pure run game. It is a pure run game. Because that's all that was.
It's like what Tennessee was doing at the start of the year. You know the run's coming, and you still can't stop it.
Yeah, because their offensive line for the Colts is great. And you can't stop someone that is probably won't be, but should be the MVP in Jonathan Taylor. Because he's breaking so many records this year. It's absolutely ridiculous. He leads every single rushing stat. And I mean yards are everything.
He would. Imagine if Derrick Henry was still playing.
Well, this is true.
He would probably be second fiddle. And that's how scary that is.
Derrick Henry is still six at the moment, just to put that in context. Which is ridiculous. It also proved to me in this game is that it's a rookie, so I'm not like harping on him, but Mac Jones, being a rookie, finds it hard to play from behind to win a game, and that's not his fault. That's just the position he's in. If he's in front, Belichick knows how to use him fine. And then he'll grind out the win. But in terms of playing from behind, and then he ended up having to throw 45 times, that's because he's a rookie.
They're chasing the game as well. So that's what I'm saying. You're chasing the clock. And
it's a rookie chasing a game. It's not easy. That's all I'm getting at. It's not easy.
No, of course not. And that's the other thing too. Is it's not as if this Colts defense is anything to be sneezed at as well. Yeah, they've got monsters up front. DeForest Buckner is massive. Darius Leonard, that linebacker is always huge. Their secondary is solid. So on all three levels, they're pretty tough to get a grip on.
They are. Their secondary is awesome. Kari Willis. Their whole defense and offensive line is awesome. And then Carson Wentz doesn't have to do much. Really, at the end of the day, he doesn't have to do much because they clearly have a rushing game and they clearly have a great offensive line and then a defense to put them back on the field. And that's exactly what happened in this game.
To put New England on the back foot, basically to start the third quarter. Three plays into the third quarter with New England with the ball and Mac Jones throws an interception and they're already chasing the game. They're already 17, nil down. They're in a little bit of trouble. And for Mac Jones to throw that interception on the third play of the second half is an absolute killer. That kills, not so much it kills your momentum, but you're trying to fight back and you can't. And like you said, it's a bit of a rookie mistake. Mac Jones has only thrown in his last seven games, has only thrown two interceptions.
That's right. Yeah. No, that's right. And you can see he's clearly.
He had two in this game. So, that just he's taking care of the ball. But, he was pressured a lot in this and those two interceptions were, it's not all interceptions are equal, but when they're thrown at inopportune times, and that one at the start of the third quarter was totally an inopportune time.
Looking at him, but they'll at least make a wild card position, and they're probably not going to go far. But looking at him, he's definitely, to me at least, it's the right pick for the Pats. He's mature beyond his years. Like when he throws, vision is ridiculous. Like it's ridiculous. Unreal. Yeah. So,
but the thing is, they're not trying to force him to do things that he's uncomfortable with.
Which is good. Yeah. No. Exactly. Exactly.
This game got chippy too.
A little bit, didn't it? Yeah. No, it did get a little bit chippy.
Pittman and Duggar get ejected after they sort of got stuck into each other a little bit, and some words and pushing and shoving sort of happened as well. It was and even before that, like some of the hits, you know, especially on receivers there was only five receptions for Carson Wentz and the Colts, but some of the passes that were thrown, man, they were physical, and Pittman wasn't happy with some of the treatment he was getting at all.
No. No, that's exactly right. Yeah, and
they're a physical defense too. That's right. New England.
Yeah, they are. And I like Pittman. He's still young as well. This is his second year, but they're a physical defense, like you just said. So that's just the way, you know. That's how defense. Well,
He's been treated like a number one receiver.
That's exactly right. And that he is a number one. He's got to get used to it. Exactly right. That's exactly right. Bills then funnily enough beat the Panthers. Well, not funnily, they were always going to beat the Panthers. Well, Panthers, I can't work the Panthers out for a lot of reasons, but they lost this 31-14.
Yeah, no, I can kind of work them out. They're not very good.
Well, that's a quick summation. Yeah, cool. Yeah, no, I'll go with that one. They aren't good.
This is Cam Newton's 11th straight loss as the Carolina Panthers starting quarterback, going back to a couple of years ago when he was still there. 11 straight losses as the starter.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, it wasn't a pretty game in all aspects anyway, to be completely honest, but.
And look, they were behind the eight ball to start with as well. And you know, with no kicker. They
got smashed in that second quarter, 17-0. Yeah, no kicker.
No, that's right. And yeah, they're forced to go for 2-point conversions, which doesn't help. It doesn't help Cam Newton. Look, it can't all be blamed. It can't all be blamed on Cam. But when you get into field goal range and you're like, oh, well, can we kick a field goal? Oh, no, hang on a minute. We can't because we don't got a kicker. Throughout the week in practice, they were having kicker tryouts. PJ Walker was trying to go. Did you see some of the video of that?
Yeah, no, it
was brutal.
I'm honestly stepping on my dud of the week because it's not the Panthers. It wasn't just this game. It seems as a whole, you cannot tell, and it clearly is the case. But you can't tell me. So their punter, who I don't know, Lachlan Edwards, cannot kick a ball for 20 or 30 yards?
Cannot place kick. That seems unfathomable.
You have 53-man squad and you have one kicker out who can win you a game. It's completely happens in a shitload of games. But you have one kicker on your entire squad and then that's it. If he's out, then you just can't go for that point. It just doesn't make sense.
What about on the
sense.
Practice squad? Like you can have 1,000 people on the practice squad.
How is that not? I just don't get the unprofessionalism of these teams that do that. I don't get it.
The Saints have gone through 4 kickers this year. But that's not even including it'd be 5 if Will Lutz had played this year.
There's at least
3 kickers on the market out there at the moment that they could have put on the practice squad. And he doesn't need to know offensive schemes or anything like that.
Of course
he just
not.
Needs to go out there and kick field goals.
Yeah, like get that game time in, that training time in. You know, kick some field goals. Get used to the person that sets the ball for you. Like it's just for a National Football League professional team to not have a second kicker.
They clearly don't value it.
It But they're not the only team. I just don't believe it. It's absolutely ridiculous.
No, and it's happened a lot this year that there's been kickers absent, and you know when you get into those sort of mid-range field goals, even if they're between 35 and 45 yards, when you don't have a competent kicker, it's just like, well, we've got to go for it, and you're in purgatory. You don't know what to do. You know, you could be at a fourth and four or fourth and three or something like that, where it's a little bit too much to sort of roll the dice and go for it on fourth down, or you can just go, we'll just happily knock over a 40-yard field goal, and you know, to at least get some points on the board.
Yeah, it's unfathomable. I do not get it, but a good win for Buffalo that puts them then on top of the AFC East, at least for the time being. Like that they're equal on for and against. They're on top. They're equal with New England. A team that's now just going completely skew for, I don't know what the hell is going on, is the Cardinals losing to the Detroit Lions.
That in itself is just unfathomable from where they were at the start of the season, and they looked untouchable, unbeatable. And for them, look, that Cliff Kingsbury sort of come out in the post game press conference and said, we just weren't ready, we just weren't up to speed. And it's just like, give me a break, it's the freaking Lions.
And you're always,
I don't care that it's in Detroit, it's the freaking Lions. Have a look at the squad that you've got there.
You were always playing nothing. They didn't get riddled with COVID in the Cardinals, to my knowledge. I don't remember seeing a lot of people out, no. If hardly any.
They're relatively healthy, COVID-wise, and so is the Lions.
Their game didn't get changed, so they were always playing that Sunday in the US. Oh, yeah, you're right. That's a cop-out statement.
It's an absolute cop-out statement. But they got the Lions got the jump on them from the get-go. They were up 10-0 in the blink of an eye, and I don't think Arizona recovered from that.
No, and they're it took him a while, but Amon-Ra St. Brown, who was their rookie pick, rookie wide receiver, is having a game. Like, he was good in this one, but he's starting to sort of, I guess, I don't know. I always rated him.
Well, they're relying on him.
Well, they've got obviously no. Who's on the IR for them? He's a tight end. I've just completely lost it.
Oh, Hockenson.
Yeah, TJ Hockenson. They've got no him. He's on IR for the rest of the year, so they have to rely on him. They've got no running game because
DeAndre Swift is gone. So it's.
Well, Jamal Williams was gone as well from this game.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they're on their third and fourth string running back.
So, you know, again, to prove where the Cardinals are, they had Evans there, they had Connor there, they had Kirk, and they had Ertz. That should be more than enough to beat the Cardinals.
Arizona has the third best red zone touchdown percentage at like 67%, and they could not get, especially in the first half, they could not get in the end zone. Yeah, they were stopped on inside 2 minutes. That Detroit stopped them inside the red zone from going for a touchdown on a fourth and goal. So they just weren't in sync with each other at all. And like I said, that's a total 100%. That's a cop out. Oh, we weren't ready. Yeah. We weren't up for this game. That's garbage.
They're going to end up losing this division. They're on a slippery slope. They're equal now with LA. They're going to lose this division because they are just, you know, D-Hop was always going to be out the rest of the year, and they proved that in an aspect didn't really need him because Edmonds and Connor have been great, and Kirk's been sort of serviceable. So
you still need him. Like, he's a bona fide superstar.
No, I understand. But what I'm like, you know, they
for this Connor's, game,
Connor's been a revelation this year. He's almost, you know, we said Matt Judon, he's close to being the buy of the year. James Connor, he's been unbelievable.
It's a final between those two.
I don't know. I don't, like, you know, Kyler had to throw 41 times. Only, you know, was accurate 23 times. I don't know. I don't know what the Cardinals. I mean, I'll be completely honest. I didn't expect the Cardinals to be 10-4. So maybe this is where what's happening now is sort of where I pictured him, I guess.
Look, and this is their first loss on the road as well. So, you know, they've been fairly impressive on the road this year.
Yeah.
But, you know, when it all comes down to it, your only road loss so far this year is against the Detroit Lions. So, that's not saying much.
There's no other way to say about that, but that's right.
No, that's right. And look, Detroit looked like they had it going on most fathoms of the game. Like, they were pretty good defensively in disrupting what Arizona wanted to do. And look, that they were serviceable on offense. Like, Jared Goff wasn't awful. Like, 21 of 26.
Yeah, he was fairly accurate.
Just
in this
over
game.
200 yards and 3 touchdowns. Like, and they didn't get to him. You know what I mean? They hardly got to him. So that's the kind of game that you need from Jared Goff. That's what you need him to do and need him to be. You just don't need him turning the ball over as horrendously as he has this year.
The Dolphins on that 6-game winning streak beating the Jets, divisional rivals 31-24. The Jets kept their extremely competitive.
Oh man, they had trouble putting the Jets away. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, because the Jets didn't really, do a lot in terms of offense. It was their defense that sort of got them where they were in this game, or at least kept them in this game. They had to.
The pick six certainly helps.
Exactly.
When you can get 7 points, not from your offense, you know, whether it's on special teams or whether you can get an interception taken back for a touchdown, then that goes a whole big way to trying to get you a victory. And the Jets, they would not go away in this game. It only took the Dolphins right up until essentially 5 or 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter to put the Jets away.
How about the old free agency or I guess the late pickup of Duke Johnson and ends up getting 2 touchdowns?
He's been terrific.
Yeah, wow. I thought Myles Gaskin, who was okay in this game, I thought this year he was going to be a revelation, and obviously he hasn't done much. Their revelation, while he didn't play in this game, was Jalen Waddle. You know, Jalen Waddle has been, is possibly, up there. He probably won't be, but the way he's been this year, I know he wasn't again in this game, is he's vying for Rookie of the Year, Jalen Waddle. He's played that good this year.
I mean, look, he's been better as of late. I don't think he's going to come close to being anywhere near, someone like a Jamar Chase or a Mac Jones for Offensive Rookie of the Year. But he's gotten a lot better. Obviously they're starting to get that connection that they had at Alabama. So it's... Yeah, look, he's looking a lot better. This was a clear and obvious plan by Miami that they're just going to run the ball down the Jets' throat. They had all the possession in the world in this game, and it took everything. They had nearly 10 more minutes time in possession. So, and it took every single minute of that to get this game The pick six, that Tua throws, we've said it before, like just inopportune, inopportune disaster play, and I'm pretty sure that brought them back to 24-all.
Oh, he's $52. Yeah, no, he's way outside. Jesus Christ.
It's Jamar Chase or it's Mac Jones.
Probably Mac Jones, but I guess they've now. The other thing I noticed, because I watched a little bit more of this game, I think because I'll be honest, they're on this 6-game winning streak, but I haven't lost to one of Miami Dolphins games because I didn't want to really believe the hype. So I caught what I could catch, and then obviously watched some shorts and that. I think the team is buying into the way Tua's playing now too. I think that's, like, it's not that it's his team, but it's everything's adjusted around him in a good way. Which is really good. They needed that.
No, that's right. And it's a, like, I think this addition of Duke Johnson now just gives them you know, an extra threat at running back because Miles Gaskin isn't a power runner at all.
No.
So he, you know, he relies on seams and you know, his offensive line getting him some gaps to sort of get him into open space. Duke Johnson is a little bit more of a thumper up front, so that'll help them in the long run. Look, yeah, Tua at the moment still like, yeah, they've still got one of the worst offensive lines in the league. It's still a very dink and dunk offense, and a lot of yak, you know, yards after the catch that get them into scoring situations. So, it's a tailor made offense for what they've got at the moment. Like, they figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
And if for what the style of play that they've got at the moment, the Dolphins, and I'm probably in your boat there a little bit. I haven't watched a lot of you know, full games of Miami because they're not on TV a whole lot. But I do get a lot of coverage on the Miami Dolphins just through the podcast that I listen to because they're very Miami centric. So
pro Miami,
Well, that's where they're based. So you know, you get a lot of Miami Dolphins. They still sort of rule the roost down there in Miami, even though the Heat have sort of brought them, you know, a little bit more joy over the last 20 years in Miami. But yeah, the town still sort of revolves around the Dolphins a little bit, even though they haven't been very good as of late, and there's been a lot of talk and a lot of criticism about Tua and, you know, and what he has looked like. But get the right team around him, buy him a little bit more time, inside the pocket, and he will be dynamic because he's shown glimpses.
That looks like they'll end up. I think they'll end up getting a wild card spot, and they could.
They've still got to win. They've still got to win out though. Like the wild card spots at the moment are all around that 7-7. So one slip up, they're done.
But if they bring all this form into a wild card spot, they could disrupt a lot of teams that, or at least annoy a lot of those top tier teams.
They'll be annoying. And yeah, if they get any kind of good offensive line play, I think they've got, you know, a fairly decent, you know, two receiver core plus Gesicki, you know, with Devontae Parker and Jalen Waddle. I think that's enough to worry a lot of teams.
Way more than they need to use Parker because he's a weapon.
Oh no, big time. And look, he's coming back from injury, so Jalen Waddle has sort of taken over the number one receiver spot, but. Yeah, they can absolutely use him better. You know, Gesicki, 6'6". You know, he's a mismatch on most, on linebackers and definitely on a lot of safeties and corners. So he's a mismatch all over the place. So I think they've got a really good receiving core with those three guys. And you get to it, you buy a little bit of time with Tua, you know, to throw in the pocket or, you know, to be able to find his receivers rather than having to be, you know, that short, you know, underpass, you know, slot passes and things like that, where he's got to find the slot receiver underneath, you know, in between the defensive line and the linebackers. If you can start to air the ball out a little bit, then Miami are trending in the right direction.
Dallas beat the New York Giants 21-6. Look, it was a win over the divisional rivals for me, but it was a very ugly win. And I was texting a mate, but both of the mate here that lives with me, and I guess not lives with me, sorry, lives in this town. We're both Cowboys supporters. We both literally text the same thing. Yeah, it was a win, but goddamn, it was ugly.
That's how you've got to be. You've got to be able to win ugly. You know, Prescott only getting 217 yards on 28 completions is a little down.
And got sacked three times. They caught him three times, the Giants. Considering like our we only got four on ones, our defense, that they caught Dak three times. Our offensive line's gone down a little bit. It has been really good this year. I mean, look, Zach Martin was out in this game, so that didn't really help. But, yeah. I mean, look, you said, like, They grounded out. A win's a win, but yeah, it just was so ugly to watch. Doesn't have to be offensive.
And if they have the Dallas Cowboys have Super Bowl aspirations, they will need to go up several levels. To be this ordinary against a New York Giants team who has just been just a tire fire this year. Daniel Jones has been shut down for the rest of this year now. I think it's a neck injury for him. So they brought in Mike Glennon. They weren't doing very well, so they brought in Jake Fromm, who they picked up from Buffalo, who was a good quarterback in college. I'm pretty sure Jake Fromm was the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah, he was a Bulldog.
QB. So look, and he's come in with a little bit of reputation, but he wasn't really allowed to do a whole lot. Saquon Barkley basically did nothing in this game.
Jesus. You're right. I mean, he didn't do much in this game. This team didn't do much. We just did, just literally.
And all you've
got
to
do
is enough.
Game.
Look, when you're playing away from home, you don't need to please, your home fans. So, and look, the Dallas Cowboys fans are everywhere.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
They're everywhere.
And the Giants, to their credit, it was completely evident in the receiving game anyway. To the Giants, to their credit, have a very, very good secondary. Xavier McKinney, and I think it's possibly Jalen Smith as well. I know there's a Jalen Smith on the Cowboys, but
they're everywhere. Jalen Smith's at the moment.
Yeah, of course they are.
And up front too. Dexter Lawrence is good. He's nothing to be said. Logan Ryan is good. Like they've got some good building blocks defensively. It's just they're absolutely horrendous offensively.
It is
offensive to watch them play offense.
And it was supposed to be this was the year at least for Daniel Jones to be built around, to say, well, here's your weapons, at least see if you can do something.
Well, they can't protect him, and they had Jason Garrett there who was the cow. You know Jason Garrett, better than anybody. His offensive schemes are much to be desired.
Yeah. No, they are. You're right. No, they are. They're exactly.
Well, that's why they fired him this year. So.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It was ugly win. It's fine. We got the win. A win's a win. Keeps us 10-4 and clearly clear of this division. You're right. The Steelers beating the Titans was what to you? Was it a bit of a shock or what? Because obviously Pittsburgh had to come back and win in this game.
Look, Pittsburgh, they are just like a gnat at a barbecue. They just will not go away. Again, and we've been saying this all freaking year, that they just cannot get off to any good starts at all. Like, they're just behind the eight ball from the get-go. Najee Harris was super ineffective in this game. 12 rushes for 18 yards. Like, he has been kind of a linchpin on how sort of Pittsburgh are actually getting back into these games. They're trying to use him in the pass game. They use him in the rush game. He was totally ineffective in this game. Deontay Foreman was really good. In the absence of Derrick Henry for Tennessee, but like you said, a shock. I think that's a shock. This should have been a game that Tennessee shouldn't have had too many problems with.
Considering how
their receiver core is decimated at the moment.
Of course, but the offensive weapons that were happening at Pittsburgh wasn't great either. Again, Najee had another stinker of a game, and Big Ben couldn't find his wide receiving call, really, at the end of the day. He really couldn't.
No.
It was...
Only in the fourth quarter. And look, this game did have its moments. You know, Big Ben rushing for, you know, getting his first rushing touchdown in 3 years, which was funny to watch. They just, Pittsburgh just takes so long to get themselves going and to get themselves into games that they're putting themselves behind the eight ball from the get go. Look, and they made it a game. Tennessee really were the ones that made it a game in the space of 10, yeah, in the space of 10 plays, Tennessee turned the ball over 3 times.
Yeah.
And you've got to be, and Pittsburgh, they've got a defense that they can do that to you. And you've got to be opportunistic to capitalize on it.
Yeah. And they should have, they had enough. I get they're decimated in the offense, but they still had enough, at least to me, enough chinks in the armor to sort of grind it out. You know, at least to get, well, all they really need is another touchdown to sort of win this game. But this,
that's right. And look, on that final Titans drive as well, you know, as they look like they're moving the ball a little bit better, you know, as they were sort of marching down the field, it got to a third, I think it got to a third and short or a fourth and short, and they brought out, the Steelers stopped them short. I thought it was a little controversial, a little bogus when they brought out, like, you could see that the catch was probably about a yard and a half from being a first down. Mm-hmm. They brought out the measurement, and it looked like it was like inches away from being a first down. It's just like, no, absolutely not. There was no way that catch was anywhere near a first down marker. Yeah. No. When the down judge comes out and puts the ball where he did, it's just like, that is completely wrong.
Yeah.
He was off by at least a yard, and that's I hope that officiating crew doesn't, you know, sort of get a playoff game, because that was horrible, and that sort of, I think that was a little bit more stressful than what Mike Tomlin would have wanted towards the end of that game, because there was nowhere near a first down marker.
No, that's right. No, that's exactly right. Chris Boswell was awesome in this game. I think it's just because obviously he got the 13 points. He got the bulk of their points for him, but he had to do some long range bombs as well. Like, it wasn't just a couple of small ones. Like, he had to do most of them around that 40 to 50 mark. I think his longest was 48. So, because his team was sort of going nowhere. I mean, it ended up winning the other game. Like I said, they only really got that one touchdown from Ben, which is ridiculous. So they're complete offensive weapons. The only person that got a touchdown was Ben Roethlisberger.
All right, first rushing touchdown in 3 years.
Oh my god! That's like an everything nightmare. That's a fantasy nightmare. That's a multi nightmare.
It was just like a big skyscraper falling to the ground. All he had to do was just fall over the line, and he was over. It was classic.
Oh no, he had to take a couple of steps. He had to move.
He had a couple of chops at it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, was on the second. That was on the second attempt. He didn't get there on the first attempt.
What's scaring me is about him is. Like what are they, 7-7, 6-1 now? I think I don't know where they're going to end up falling, but that draw could go either way from it. Could have been good, it could have been bad, but Ben hasn't really come out and really said I'm retiring, which is what scares me. Is that, I know he needs to, but he really hasn't come out.
It's as good as done. If he wants to go back and look at the film for the previous year, he's going to be like, yeah, no, I'm done.
Yeah, you think he has to.
Man, not even Drew Brees looked as bad.
I think if they, where they end up falling, and they should fall out of the wild card spot, surely he'll have to just go, yeah, okay, it's time for me to give it to someone else. Surely.
I mean, I don't think they make the playoffs. Mike Tomlin how long has he been there? 15, 16 years, has never had a losing record. So that draw, yeah, no, that's right. That draw could become, you know, important in that sort of streak as well.
That's about it. Yeah. You know, you're right. That's probably the only time it's going to become important. I guess this could have went anyway, but the Texans have been in the Jags 30-16.
I guess you could colourfully refer this to as the toilet bowl.
Yeah, no, well, you can't colourfully. It is the toilet bowl. What's interesting is it is Davis Mills was technically better than the number one pick, and Davis Mills was picked in the third round of this year's draft.
I mean, look.
What the hell?
I know. I watch enough of, you know, of NFL programming on TV, and a lot of guys, you know, a lot of NFL analysts really like Davis Mills.
No, they do. Yeah, you are right. They really do like Davis Mills. Yeah, and they do a lot of.
He's in such a bad predicament there, well, you know, exactly the Texans too, and with their quarterback situation and, you know, the way that they sort of, you know, fumbled their way through this season. But yeah, there's been glimpses that he looks really good, you know, and he didn't look awful in this game at all.
No, he didn't. No, he really didn't. He had enough protection. He was serviceable. He found his number one weapon, who's been his number one weapon all year, and Brandon Cooks.
That is a one shining light, you know, for the Texans at the moment, that they still do have Brandon Cooks there. And look, you know, that obviously goes a long way in the passing game with them. It makes them a little one dimensional, especially with the way that they've got a lack of running game at the moment. But when you're as good as Brandon Cooks, you know, as long as you can put it on his numbers, then, you know, Brandon Cooks is going to do well for you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think we've talked about this game way too long.
I mean, I guess no fairy tale win for the Jags after letting Urban Meyer go. That's all you can sort of take out of that.
I kind of thought they might win this game for that reason, and then no, they went the other way. No, you're right.
Look, James Robinson actually got used in this game. It was unbelievable. Like, you know, wow, what a revelation. Like, we've got a decent running back there. Oh, how about we use him? Let's try and help Trevor Lawrence out.
Yeah, exactly. Because James Robinson was that good last year. James Robinson was RB4 last year for a reason. So
that's right.
Bengals beating the Broncos. This was a win, I guess, for them. Like, it, you know, he did enough. Like, Burrow's fairly consistent. It, you know, yes, again, his offensive line well let him down, but he does do enough. He does enough. I really do like him. I'm not gonna lie.
When you've got Joe Mixon there, look, Jamar Chase in this game was a total and utter non-factor. One reception for 3 yards. Everybody's favorite, you know, well, everybody's favorite, you know, second weapon in the league, and Tyler Boyd sort of started to show up the last few weeks. So, you know, he's been getting into games. This game was on 7Mate, and it was just rotten to watch. No team got into the red zone until the third quarter. Just brutal to watch.
It was because both, and this was completely evident this year, is both defenses were amazing in this game. And this year, Bengals defense has been a revelation, and Broncos have always had a pretty decent defense. So that's just a product of that kind of game. Because you look at, I mean, Teddy Bridgewater is just, oh my, God, I don't, you know, speaking about what run quarterbacks and there.
You don't want to see it, and you don't want to see your quarterback do what Bridgewater did, and, you know, take off out of the pocket and then try and dive over people to try and get, you know, that extra half a yard for a first down. He got snapped. He went straight to the ground. His face planted straight into the ground, and now he's basically in concussion protocol. So they had to call upon Drew Lock in this game. It looks like that they may have to use Drew Lock next week. Mm-hmm. Bridgewater is not looking in great shape at the moment. From what I understand that I've sort of read up about him in the concussion protocol. So, that was a fairly innocuous sort of hit too. Look, it wasn't one of those big brutal hits where, you know, that somebody just gets absolutely pulled, but, I think it was more so not the hit by the defending player. It was more the crash to the ground. I think that really sort of rattled Bridgewater.
Yeah.
This just sort of totally depicts this game. But the double fumble recover by both teams as well was nuts.
That was in the second quarter, wasn't it?
It was crazy. Like Drew Lock. It was in the third quarter.
Third quarter.
Drew Lock fumbled the ball. He'd only been in the game for a couple of snaps.
Couple of plays.
He fumbles the ball. Khalid Kareem, the defensive lineman, picks it up, begins to run. I think he got about 25 or 30 yards up the field. Then he gets the ball knocked out, and it's recovered back by Denver. It's like, holy crap.
That was nuts. That was second and goal, wasn't it? That was a huge. It was recovered and then fumbled and then recovered and then recovered and then recovered and then reversed. And yeah, that was that was a ridiculous play, actually. It's second and goal. So I think I don't want to say it, but I think they're I don't know. I think. Well, look, no, I won't say it because the AFC North is still technically completely wide open.
It's wide open. I think you can put a line through Pittsburgh. They'll keep coming. There's still plenty of fight left in that dog, but I don't think you can see them at least winning the division. They could scrape into the playoffs, but I don't see it. Yeah, this now is a three horse race, and with two teams faltering at the moment in Baltimore and Cleveland, this division is ripe for the picking for Cincinnati.
Oh yeah, big time, absolutely. I think it really of all those teams, they have the weapons enough to do it. Really, if you look at those teams completely, they have a great defense, they have a really good quarterback, a great running back. Three good wide receivers. Yeah, they technically are ripe to win this division.
Yeah, it's right. It's there for the taking.
The Niners, while they won this division, scaring a lot of people if they end up, and it looks like they will, end up getting this wild card position because they are playing, again, great, you know, each game. They're just doing... Jimmy's looking better. Jimmy G is looking better. They're still going on the run game. Jeff Wilson got over 100 yards, and then from that it's been complemented by George Kittle and Deebo Samuel. So they're doing everything right.
One of those teams that if you're a division winner, and they happen to pop up on your radar as your wild card opponent, you would not enjoy playing them. At all. Look, they've won five of their last six. They've really started to get it together. And it's one of those. Yeah, like I said, I think that's coincided with George Kittle coming back, and that makes Jimmy G look really good.
Yeah, it's the Niners and the Colts. They're the two teams that
will end up getting wild card
spots that will just scare a lot of people. I wouldn't want to play them.
No, absolutely not.
I always thought they were going to win this game. The run game in the Falcons is absolutely shocking.
Oh, horrendous.
They really don't have any offensive weapons. Kyle Pitts has done okay this year, but it's possible because he had lofty expectations. He hasn't done enough to impress me yet. But it's possible because he had lofty expectations.
No, I would have thought he would have been an absolute shoe-in for Offensive Rookie of the Year.
I thought so.
Before a ball was snapped. But, yeah, look, they've been offensively challenged this season for a lot of it. Your boy, Cordarrelle Patterson, wasn't really in this game.
No, he wasn't good at this game. That's okay. He doesn't have to be. Anything he's done this year has been overs. Even in this game, what did he get? He got 5 yards and then 18 yards rushing. Yeah, no, that's still way over than what he was going to do in everybody else's expectation this year. So
that would have been everybody's expectation for him this year.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah, good win by Niners. Atlanta still at 6-8.
They're still in the mix.
They're still in the mix.
But they can't win at home.
They're still mathematically in the mix. I don't. Oh yeah, you're right.
They can't win at home. I that's the thing.
I don't get it. They can't win at home. They can't win at home at all.
Unbelievable.
Next game, I didn't think it would end up being this close, and Baltimore really did fight, but they end up losing to the Packers 31-30. You know, Tyler Huntley, to me, could be a QB1 in 5 or 6 other teams. He's not bad.
No, not at all. And they don't really have to change. We've said it before. Like, they don't really have to change a lot of their offensive scheme because he does well with his legs.
Yeah.
He's fast.
He's only 23. This is his technically his first season. Technically, he's not a rookie, but
he was around last year.
But I'm saying that it's his first
season. This is the most time that he's gotten.
He could be great on a lot of teams. They were unfortunate in this game. Like you're right. He did exactly what Lamar would have done. He used his legs. He got 2 TDs and 73 yards. He used Andrews perfectly in this game.
That's who he's got to use.
Which is fine. I'm fine with that. Like, and that's what kept him in this game. It was just Packers. I mean, it was just Rodgers, especially in that last quarter, probably even that last. His 2 minute clock management was awesome.
He's impossible in the 2 minute drill. Like it, and like yeah, like you said, it comes and once again this game, yeah, it come down to how well sort of Baltimore, I guess you could say, sort of contained Rodgers a little bit, but I think they contained, you know, the run game and AJ Dillon fairly well. You know, that secondary runner, for Green Bay, not a whole lot of anything really from Devontae Adams in this game.
I still got a touchdown. That is
yeah, he's still got a TD, but you know, only 44 yards out of him. Like you absolutely want more out of him than that. And look, once again, it can come down to, you know, John Harbaugh thinking he's got, you know, the biggest balls on the planet, and once he gets it to 31 to 30. And just and says and look, he I watched some of the vision, obviously after this game, you know, not in the heat of the battle, and you know, he's sort of gone out there. He asked Huntley, "Do you want to go for it?" And he said, "Absolutely, let's go for it." So he's asking the quarterback. So he's got all the confidence in the world that Huntley can go out there and execute. It didn't come off again. So now they are 2-8 on 2-point conversions. So you can't even say that it's analytics and mathematics to go for it. So because before this, they were only 2-7 going for 2-point conversions. And that's with Lamar Jackson. So they haven't really been exceptional at going for these 2-point conversions.
No, but you're right. But you're right. They haven't been successful, but I agree with you in what you just said.
This is the second time in the last month that they've tried it.
Harbaugh has gone to his quarterback, and his quarterback said, "Let's go for it." So,
look,
I think it was the right call to go for it. I'll be completely honest. I think it was the right call to go for it.
I think maybe with more time on the clock. That's the issue with it. That there's not enough time on the clock, whereas if you do screw it up, then you still have time to save yourself. There wasn't enough time left on the clock for them to save themselves.
No.
Even Mark Andrews, after the fact, when they come off the field afterwards and they missed it, you know, even Mark Andrews said, he said to the coach, like, absolutely, it's the right call. It's the right way to go. And that's great to have an offensive, you know, mindset like that. But just trust yourself in overtime.
Well, that's the thing.
Play the percentages.
But they didn't trust themselves in overtime. That was clearly
play the percentages.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. They should have played the percentages. But I'm not disagreeing with the call. I just
Those two losses could cost them a division crown. It might cost them a divisional crown.
Yeah, it will. I'll be honest, I hope it will. For betting purposes, I hope it will.
For entertainment purposes only.
Of course. They did. You were right. They contained the run game pretty well. Aaron Jones, but yeah, he can chink up in that, or it's just really Rodgers, but he chinks up nicely. I love his little out routes when he got that sort of the touchdown. He does this a couple of times. There's little out routes that he does because he's obviously quick off the mark, Aaron Jones. They're pretty good, and Rodgers just obviously knows how to find him.
No, well that's right. And I think that pairing, you know, that goes. It goes to a lot of the success for the Packers and for Aaron Jones as well, you know, whether he has the same sort of success in another scheme and with another quarterback. I guess that sort of remains to be seen. But, Aaron Rodgers is, you know, he's one of the smartest guys going around. So he knows how to use people, and he's got all the confidence in the world.
Saints beating the Bucks 9-0. In one of the most boring games I've seen in a very long time. But it's a win's a win.
Look, keeps the Saints alive in the playoff picture.
Yeah.
Like you said, a bit of a yuck game. it didn't start off well, you know. Taysom Hill sort of, you know, looked pretty ordinary to start this game off. As they sort of The Saints have been very offensively challenged as of late, especially without Jameis Winston there, you know, with Trevor Siemian and Taysom Hill being under center at the moment. Tom Brady should have been picked off on his first pass that he threw.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Should have been picked off. And because they called it back, because there was the tiniest little BS bobble as CJ Gardner-Johnson dropped to the ground. His tiniest little bobble. It's bullcrap. Totally should have been an interception. And it only got worse there for Tom Brady after that. Like, the Saints, they're decimated with injury at the moment. You know, in the linebacker position. On the front offensive line, you know, missing two of the best offensive linemen that's going around, Ramchek and Armstead. Payton calling the plays. Dennis Allen is essentially doing everything for them in this game.
But they frustrated the
shit out of Tom Brady. It was great.
Because when you have these three guys, they stand out. You know, I could throw Marshon Lattimore in there, but when – it clearly these three guys,
I don't care what anybody says, he's the best corner in the game. I don't give a shit what they say about Jalen Ramsey and, you know, all of that. Marshon Lattimore is the best corner in the game. I don't care what anybody says.
I think he's one of the disruptors of Tom Brady, but the three I was going to say that clearly are in Tom Brady's head is CJ Gardner-Johnson, DeMario Davis.
Boy, isn't he in his head.
And Cam Jordan. Cam Jordan owns, to me, Tom Brady. Sacked him two times.
And he was DeMario there. And Tom was too pleased with a couple of with both those. Now, the second one that he got hit, like Cam just he just blast through that offensive line, which is a pretty damn good offensive line. And look, Tampa were not helped at all in this game with injuries. Mike Evans went down. Leonard Fournette went down. Chris Godwin is gone now for the season from that hit by PJ Williams, which looked a little low and really buckled his knee underneath him. Didn't look good. Criticism has sort of come out, not so much on PJ Williams himself, but a lot of tackling techniques that corners and safeties have. Where are you supposed to hit him? Can't hit him high. You can't hit him low. So you've only got a small area that you can hit people. It went a little bit wrong. It wasn't deemed illegal, but now it's ruined Chris Godwin's season.
But this is the product of can Tom Brady win games or win a Super Bowl without these weapons? We'll have to see next week.
Look, he's done it before, but many moons ago.
And
that was the whole reason of him going to Tampa.
In saying that, he'll end up still having, you know, Ronald Jones will be there. Chris Godwin's out, but Mike Evans should be back. And he's got his boy Gronk. So, you know, he's still not shortchanged at the end of the day. They're still weapons enough.
No, that's right. But that's something the Saints defensively just frustrated the hell out of him. No more evident than in two instances when, you know, CJ Gardner-Johnson got right up in his face and sort of, you know, crossed his arms and smiled at him. And Tom Brady's just looking at him going, get away from me, you peon. But I think it was after the interception that he threw, and he made a point of going over to the Saints sideline and getting into Dennis Allen's face, and supposedly he said, go and F yourself, which is just fantastic. Like, just to see that Tom Brady actually can get frustrated like that. Like, you know, I'm sort of speaking a little excitedly because it's an unbelievable win. Like, when you're so offensively challenged like the Saints are at the moment, to be able to knock off this Bucs team, who are the defending Super Bowl champions again in the regular season,
who've only lost three times this year.
It's unreal.
It is unreal. Yeah, there's no way your team should have won this. Absolutely not.
Not with the amount of injuries. No Sean Payton on the sideline. The Saints have got the worst collective quarterback completion percentage in the league at 58%. Like, that's collectively. That's even with Jameis Winston.
Kamara hasn't been having a world's on fire season this season.
No, he's rushed more this season. Like, yeah, had more rushing attempts than any season that he's had.
Yeah, yep. Yeah,
they're using him a little bit different, and that's just an adjustment that they have to make now that Drew Brees has ridden off into the sunset. So that's just an adjustment that he's got to make.
Oh, I remember seeing when they were decimated. I did see a rumor reach out for Drew Brees and Philip Rivers. For the Saints, I'm not joking.
I think they've very much considered Philip Rivers earlier in the season.
Oh my God,
Philip Rivers made a statement and said, "I'm waiting on the phone. I'm waiting by the phone."
I'm telling you now, I fully believe if Jameis Winston was healthy, your team would be pushing the Bucs for that divisional title. I know that.
As soon as Winston went down, we lost four in a row.
Yeah, and like that.
I don't know if that's coincidence.
I know it was one win, but that Packers win showed me just enough that they could really disrupt at least. Well, again, they're 7-7 too. So that's still pretty goddamn good for the team.
Look, for the season that we've had, you know, after being uprooted from New Orleans for the first four or five years due to the hurricane, you know, having to go through all of that. You know, home games having to be moved away from the dome. It's been, at 7-7 at the moment, you know, still in the mix. Once again, another team that's been better on the road than what they have been at home, which, you know, that's not going to please the New Orleans faithful, but, an unbelievable defensive effort by the Saints.
The Raiders beating the Browns with starting QB because of COVID, Nick Mullins, 16-14. The starting QB was for the Browns, I should clarify. Derek Carr obviously was still there.
I don't know how the Browns threw this game away. They had Vegas on the ropes for most of this game. I'll have no idea.
Because Raiders were decimated, obviously, in their wide receiving core. They only had Josh Jacobs, and Hunter Renfro. But I really thought that, and it put way too much pressure on him. And he got 91 yards and one touchdown. But I thought, honestly, Nick Chubb would be enough to beat this Raiders team. I really did.
Look, and I was completely with the amount of, COVID, people on the COVID list. For the Browns, both frontline quarterbacks gone. Like you said, Nick Mullins starting. No Kevin Stefanski. This is the second time he's been out in the last 2 years due to COVID. So no, he wasn't on the sideline either. You'd think you would have a nice, healthy dose of Nick Chubb. But no, he had 6 attempts in the first half.
Yeah.
That just can't happen.
Yeah, no, you can't. It can't at all. I mean, he got way better in the second half.
Oh, my God, he was unbelievable in the second half. But you can't put yourself behind the eight ball so much and have to try and bring yourself back in this game where you should have this game not so much well in hand, but you should be able to compete a little bit better in this game.
And they didn't. This is just sort of... I guess for me, Vegas are
trotting out Zay Jones and Foster Moreau.
Oh, I know. And Hunter Renfrow really isn't really much shot, really. He shouldn't be the WR1.
He's a good deep threat, but he wasn't used.
That's exactly right. This is a win that the Browns really needed to win in order to at least push for the AFC North. And them going then to 7-7 in this, to me, has really, I guess, to at least ruin their at least their divisional title hopes, at the very least. They might even win wild card. I'll be surprised if they kind of do, really.
I mean, yeah, it's absolutely going to be tough for them. So, look, for both of these teams, really, like, you know, the Raiders are in a tough division, and... The Browns are in a tough division.
The Raiders have gone through some stuff this year.
They've absolutely gone through some shit.
At 7-7, they're still, like, you know, it went on a bit of a skid, but they still have surprised me more than I thought they would, at least where they are now. I really thought they'd be a lot.
Especially, I guess, after the two major incidents from this year, you really thought that they could have just totally fallen into a heap and capitulated, and they have in certain games, but look, they showed a little bit of grit, you know, in the face of adversity and injury, not so much COVID in, you know, COVID list, you know, guys out, but just through injury. So you know, Josh Jacobs hasn't been very good this year. I think, you know, that a lot of people would have thought he could have been a lot better in this offensive scheme. Derek Carr, This is his first, you know, like I said, you know, a couple of weeks ago, simple math. Derek Carr doesn't throw for 300 yards, they don't win. This was the game that bucked the trend in this.
You did say that last week, not on here, but I think you said it to me on a message. And
simple math.
Yeah, this is the game that bucked the trend. You're exactly right. So, but in all honesty, if money wise, you would put it on him because you would think that he'd throw 300 yards against the Browns. So,
I mean, yes, but yeah, really. That's I mean, you know, with the amount of people that the Browns had out from this game, you know, due to COVID, you really thought that Vegas probably should have had no trouble, really. Yeah. You know, not so much, but just. You would have thought, okay, you'd be forgiven that you wouldn't think it's going to be a super high-scoring game. But, yeah, the quarterback play, and you realistically should be like, well, you know, this is going to be a very one-dimensional team. And they had Vegas had a lot of trouble with them.
Another ugly game, but a win's a win. Like, it seems to be the theme this week, but Vikings beating the Bears 17-9.
I mean, anything involving the Bears is going to be ugly.
Yeah, but the Vikings, the most up and down team this year, was ugly as well. NFC North divisional rivals. It just, you know, Jefferson was sporadically used. He only caught 4 out of the 10 targets he got. Dalvin Cook, you know, got 89 yards. So didn't really have his typical Dalvin Cook game, really, at the end of the day. And I think... it was, I guess, to me, yeah, Minnesota just done enough. Like, they really didn't do anything in the world on fire, but Minnesota just did enough. That's really how this game was.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's a career low passing yards, too, for Kirk Cousins and 87 yards. Uh-huh. They said it just, yeah, that especially when you're on the road and it's a divisional opponent, it doesn't matter how you get the job done. Just get the job done.
Yep. Yeah. No. It's a great way of putting it.
Look, and yeah, healthy dose of Delvin Cook always helps.
Fields is, you know, fairly consistently pretty good in this game. He wasn't
look,
too bad.
Look, he looked all right in this game.
No, he did. Yeah, he threw a lot more.
They're not getting the right balance. It's when Justin Fields looks bad, and then, you know, maybe their running backs look a bit better, you know, in David Montgomery and, you know, Jakeem Grant sort of started to sneak his head a little bit with a few sort of sneaky run plays here and there. And then when you start to get into, you know, if they want to put the ball in Justin Fields' hand and make him throw a lot, then they don't look great. So it's just, you know, their receiving core is pretty ordinary.
Yep. The Rams beating the Seahawks, divisional rivals once again. This was another poor game for Russell Wilson and another great game from Cooper Kupp. Because that's how I had this written down here. Poor game,
well,
Russell.
Yeah, that's,
great
that's,
game, Cooper.
Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely. Like, Cooper Kupp is slowly becoming, you know, one of the best, if not the best, wide receiver in the league.
Probably the best offensive player this year.
Absolutely.
Have to be in consideration. So, the Seahawks. I mean, what can you say?
I mean, no run game for them, and
no, DK Metcalf didn't do much. No, without having Lockett there. So
no, that's right, and that's what you would have thought. You would have thought they would have tried to press the issue. That Tyler Lockett's been great over the last month, and DK hasn't been. You would have thought this. Let's try and push the issue here. Let's try and get DK happy. Let's try and get him, you know, really involved in this game, and it didn't really work out that way.
I'd say the whole year. I think Lockett's been consistently better this year, and Metcalf has consistently been terrible this year, really, at the end of the day.
He's been accused of drifting in and out of games, being selfish. And the only thing you can maybe attribute it to is that he's believing a little bit of his own hype.
Yeah, I think so.
And this could be a very grounding season for him.
I watched it, and then I watched his post interview in that 100-meter run that he did in the trials against like all these other Olympic hopefuls. He was obviously fast, right? Like, you know, he finished like sixth or seventh. He's obviously fast. That wasn't the thing. It was a post interview. So his post interview, exactly what you just said. Then he. The way he was talking, he was feeling himself a little bit. Like, you know, I'm able to do this in the off season. You know, it was one of the words he used. You know, it's good to sort of mix it up with other athletes and everything like that. But,
yeah, right.
And then they obviously all guard over him because he's not so much, well, he's an NFL player, but obviously he's massive compared to all these people. He's so big.
Oh, he's gigantic. He's way too big to be a sprinter.
But maybe he's feeling, yeah, exactly. So maybe he's feeling himself a bit. I hope it is a granite season because he was absolutely brilliant last year.
No, exactly.
Everybody picked him up early because he was so good.
It's the old acronym, Fig Jam.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God, I haven't heard that for ages. But yes, you're right. It's an old acronym.
That's what I think it is a little bit.
But the Rams did enough and then put them there in the NFC West first place. Over Arizona because they went down, so it'll be interesting. I mean, I had the Rams. I think a couple
Putting
of skids,
it,
but I think in this division at least, to me, in terms of what I think in power rankings, if you want to put it that way, it's to me it goes Rams, San Francisco, Arizona, Seattle. I put even though that Arizona have a better record, San Francisco to me are above them.
I think it's just, yeah, that might be a little bit of recency bias, but yeah, San Francisco, yeah, well, this is the time of year when you want to be playing your best football.
You kind of need the recency. You're exactly right. Yeah, you have to be
at this
time.
And the Rams are starting to do that after they had that, you know, little bit of a horror spell in, but, you know, on either side of their bye week, you know, they weren't looking very good. They're starting to click and starting to get a lot better, you know, as the playoffs approach. And, you know, the same thing with San Francisco. So, there's no gimmies in this division at the moment, even though the Seahawks haven't been that great. But, yeah, the LA, Look, they're really starting to put their best foot forward over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, exactly. And then the final game was the NFC East rivals, the Philadelphia Eagles beating Washington Football Team 27-17.
Probably the best I've seen Jalen Hurts look. I mean, look. You know, when you've got to have that, I think you've got to have that good, even balance with him. You can't make him, or you can't turn him into a Lamar Jackson where you really have to look for the run first with him. Look, his accuracy has been a little bit of a problem this year. He was very accurate in this game at 20 for 26, nearly 300 yards. You've got to, I think with him, it's got to be that right balance of, you know, of run pass option with him, with RPO, and him being a threat, you know, out of the backfield himself as being a runner. And I think, going forward, I think, you know, Sirianni, the coach there at Philadelphia, if he can work that out, you know, in getting that right balance, that they're going to be, that once again, they haven't got the greatest receiving core there. Like, you know, they got rid of Zach Ertz and now they've got Dallas Goedert. And obviously the former Heisman winner in Devontae Smith.
Dallas Goedert was good in this game, obviously.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, Goddard was massive. I needed him to score a freaking touchdown, but, yeah, that's for entertainment purposes only.
you could say sport.
Oh, brutal. He got all those yards over there. Couldn't get in the end zone. Kill me now.
You're right. I did like Jalen Hurts in this game for the fact that healthy, obviously about time, but a healthy Miles Sanders did what Miles Sanders can do and went over 100 yards. Didn't get a touchdown, which is fine, but he did exactly what he needed to do to put Jalen Hurts in there to get those two rushing touchdowns.
Look, they've been one of the run heaviest teams in the league. Uh-huh. You know, and if they can get Miles Sanders back and healthy, then yeah, that's only going to help them out. Look, Washington are down to their third string quarterback.
Oh, Garrett Gilbert.
So, this for them to put up 17 points is impressive.
Yeah, but that just shows you where the NFC sort of, I guess, East. Well, these sort of three teams are the, you know, at least the Philadelphia are the only other team that it's not winning, but an equal record in 7-7.
Well, they've slipped themselves into that final wildcard spot at the moment.
Possibly, depending on, there's so many 7-7 teams, isn't there?
That's right, it's insane.
It's going to be crazy. It's going to go down the final.
Isn't it like 24 teams or something at the moment that have got at least 6 wins or more?
It's going to go down in the final week, isn't it? It has to.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of movement is going to happen over these next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's going to have to.
What are we? Week 15 now. So we've still got 3 weeks, 16, 17, 18. So we've got 3 more weeks.
We're week 18. I keep forgetting that too.
Yeah.
Because there's so many buys. I mentioned we'll go to the dud first because I mentioned my dud during this with the whole kicker fiasco, just in general, not to have a kicker, a second kicker, or use your punter as a kicker. And I just, it's...
Well, not so much that. It's to be multidimensional. Be multifaceted. Like, not to say, yeah, no, I can just kick balls. That's it. Like, you've got to be...
Let's put the other sport that we're into, you know, that kicks a ball in rugby league. If this happened in rugby league, and it does happen in rugby league, you think they're just not going to kick the ball?
That's right. No. It's they've still got competent kickers.
There's
around.
There's 3 or 4 people that can kick a ball straight after that. I just don't get it. I really don't get it. It's not even the don't be multi. If you can't be multifaceted, you can't tell me you can have one spot for in a 53-man squad for a backup kicker. Come on.
It's not so much that. It's when these kickers go down, they don't even have anybody in their practice squad they can bring in.
So it's not even the 53-man squad. You're right. It's the practice squad as well. That's absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Your dud of the week?
I mean, it can only go to one team, really, and that's the Arizona Cardinals.
I had to point the kicking thing out. But
absolutely. Yeah, you're right. That's well-deserved as well. But, you know, after Arizona... Starting off, looking like they'll world beaters at 7-0 to start the season. had a serious reality check, you know, in the last, you know, or in the next, you know, sort of 7 weeks, you know, being 3-4, 2 straight losses, no DeAndre Hopkins, I think, for the rest of the season, no?
Yeah, no, he's gone for the rest of the season. You are right.
So Nuke could nuke this season.
Yeah. Yeah,
Arizona, like, they have not looked like themselves.
They've got 10 wins. Are they 10 wins? Yeah.
They're ten and four. Like, so they're still there, but they should get
a wild card spot with 10 wins. They should get a wild card.
Yeah, of course you can.
Even if you keep losing. But yeah.
You don't want to peak too early.
No.
That's exactly what they've done.
Your start of the week.
I mean, I raved about it on for probably a little bit too long about that earlier, but the Saints defensively. Look, to shut down the NFL's best offense in the GOAT, in Tom Brady, they hold them to 0 points.
Yeah,
Brady so frustrated that he goes over to the defensive coordinator of the Saints, who's calling the plays, and tell him to go F himself is fantastic.
And breaks a $2,000 Microsoft Surface Pro as well in the process. So,
oh, yeah. Man, he was pissed at that too, wasn't he?
They're not cheap, those Surface Pros too.
No, so hell no.
I mean, like, you know, I'm sure it wouldn't bother him, but no, that's a fair call.
But you know, the Saints front four, you know, even Marcus Davenport got to Tom Brady with relative ease.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, that's definitely a fair call. I really couldn't go past Duke Johnson. You know, two touchdowns, 107 yards, a guy that sort of has been
hurt
through a little bit, who's a thumper, like you said, who can be serviceable in a team, especially in this team. So,
and it sucks that it's taken this long for him to
be the perfect team.
No, well, yeah, well, that's right. You know, it looks like he's going to be a very good complementary piece for the Dolphins.
Yeah, yeah, I really think so. I think, you know, if they keep this winning streak going, he's going to be very complimentary, because, because Gaskin is not too bad as a receiver when he needs to be. So you could have the two running backs sort of set play. I'm not saying all the time, but he can be that.
No, but he can split carries between them two as well. Like, you know, and to have a little bit more of a bigger threat in the run game than what Gaskin is, because Gaskin doesn't get a lot of, you know, yards after carry. Like, once he hits, you know, once he hits the defensive line, that's it. He goes straight down.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly.
He is a small dude.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, he's a very small dude. No, you're exactly right. Any news to finish on? I haven't really touched on any news.
I guess the only thing that really sort of stands out this week is, you know, not only are there playoff spots being put on the line, you know, over these next few weeks, but like we said before, in Houston and Jacksonville, draft pick status is on the line. And now with the Lions winning.
Yeah.
With Houston winning and now Jacksonville losing, if the draft were to happen today, Jacksonville would have the number one pick.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, you're right. I mean,
I beg and plead, Detroit, stop winning. They need a lot of help.
Exactly right.
I don't think it's going to matter whether they get the number one or number two pick. I don't think it's really going to matter.
Number three, technically. You're right. You're right.
I think the biggest winner really is going to be Philadelphia. It looks like they're going to have, what, two picks inside the top 10 and 3 first round picks.
Yeah. 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 We mentioned that last time, but so you're right.
They could package those and go after. I don't want to say, because I really do believe in Jalen Hurts. I'd really hate to see him get bushed for, you know, somebody like the bigger name quarterbacks that are gonna that could very well be on the market next year in Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers.
No, I think they stick with Jalen Hurts. I think, I think they look at that defensive, because that's to me their biggest thing.
Yeah, that's right.
So
the secondary has just been awful all year.
But you're right, the Jags are technically at the moment they have the worst record, and they'll go up against another worst record team next week in the New York Jets to out-tank
each other. Oh my lord, are they up against the Jets next week? Oh, stop it.
Out-tanking each other, that'll be interesting. So.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be. Yeah, who can out-tank each other? Oh, but that could be. That's going to be a horrendous game, is it not?
Well, see, the Jets, you know, it's possible. Just, you know, you did mention, obviously, the Eagles, but the Jets technically have two picks inside the top 10 at the moment.
I think they do too, don't they? Yeah, the Jets do. They got them back to back, don't they? They've got like 4 and 5.
Well, it's depending on where the Giants fall, but at the moment, they have 4 and 5.
4 and 5, yeah.
Because theirs is 4 and Seattle, who took.
That's right, for the Jamal Adams trade.
Correct. So. Yeah, again, young team. They'll get another couple of young players.
And look, if this draft is if it's littered with, you know, with good offensive linemen, that's one thing that they sorely need. Look, yeah. And they need wide receivers as well. Like they need help on the outside for Zach Wilson. But if they can keep him protected, then
oh my god, you know, that's just updating. And Giants have 2 picks inside the top 10. I'm going to be scared of the NFC East because they hold Chicago's first rounder. No, not really. But so they're technically 6 at the moment, so they're 6 and 8. So they have 2 picks inside the top 10. God damn, this could be.
It's not just jockeying for position for the playoffs. Like, yeah, there's very real, you know,
packages,
implications in the draft. Yes.
There's possible trade.
Not so much. It's not so much controlling your own destiny. It's other crappy teams that continue to lose that are giving away their first round picks.
But it's also there's possible trade packages here for possible quarterbacks or possible anythings. Like not just I'm saying to move up in the draft. I'm talking about to get. There could be big weapons that go trade, which hasn't happened for a while. Just weapons that are currently in the NFL that get traded at draft night.
No, you
know,
that's right.
Not this kind of is going to happen, but imagine if because who knows what's going to happen with Daniel Jones and the Giants go, well, Rodgers, you want to come here and we'll give you 2 first rounders in the top 10.
Oh, my God.
I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just saying, like, you don't know. You just don't know, really. It's, you know, the only one that I think that won't go for a quarterback, and you mentioned him at the top, and I don't mind him, is probably David Mills. They don't need to reach for a quarterback. I think
they need a lot of help as well.
They need to reach for a quarterback.
No, I don't think so. Like if they can get you know some better, I think they need a really good solid running back. I think David Johnson.
Oh my God.
Unless they can you know sort of get a little bit. He has regressed something chronic.
Oh, and then they picked up 2 30-year-olds that they let go. So no, that you're right. They need a running back. They need a lot, but yeah, I think
they need
Keep Davis Mills. So yeah,
well,
interesting.
Look, he's on a rookie contract. He's a third rounder. So look, he's inexpensive, and if you get, yeah, you know, if you can get half decent play out of him, then it's a win-win.
It's so interesting. This week 18 could determine just so much. I've never had a season that I remember that is not all determined wildcard spots for so many teams, but also so many teams for potential top 10 picks.
I think it's just the topsy turvy sort of nature of this season, and especially as the season's gone on, it just when you think a team looks like they're starting to roll, yeah, they can turn in a bit of a stinker of a performance.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly right. Well, a lot of
teams are doing that, and a lot of it is unexplainable. Like, you know, we've said before, the Chargers, and the Chargers and the Vikings.
Vikings.
You know what I mean? They're the two teams that I just cannot figure out.
Vikings. Well, they did the same thing last year, so you can sort of half figure them out. But the Chargers, I can't figure out.
I can't figure them out this year.
I can't because it's funny, like, but maybe everyone overhyped them because how good Justin Herbert was, but they didn't have a winning season last year.
I think that they come into this season with a lot of expectations.
And they didn't have a winning season last year.
They didn't hit the ground running at all.
So technically they've done way better than they did last year. So technically It's not that we can't figure them out. They've done better, but we're probably just thinking that they were not going to win the division, but at least possibly get a wild card spot. And
well,
I think we've
pushed for the playoffs, and you know the way that Justin Herbert sort of set all sorts of rookie records and everything last year. I think it was just a one of those. You know, it doesn't look like he's going to have those second year blues.
Who's he did hit a record this week too. Actually, saying that he passed it was either the receiving, I'll have to look it up, it was either receiving or the touchdowns in the first 2 years. He broke, for a rookie, broke Andrew Luck's record. I think it was the most receiving yards or the most, you know, passing yards.
Most passing, yeah. Well, Andrew Luck was, he was an absolute revelation in Indiana. He was one, yeah, he was just one of the biggest can't-miss prospects coming out of the draft, coming out of Stanford. For the Colts. And I think they grossly underachieved with him. Unfortunately,
yeah,
they couldn't quite piece it together when he was, you know, when he was there and playing well. Look, who's to say in another year he doesn't take a phone call to come back?
No, that's exactly what I was just about to talk about. It's I listened to a deep dive podcast on Andrew Luck, and he is completely happy being way, way, way out of the spotlight. He, these are proper NFL people that have approached him about anything, about gigs on TV, gigs on anything. And he just doesn't want to be, you know, he's happy going on holidays. He's said to them.
He wouldn't be.
So he just doesn't, he completely fell in love out of the game, which is really disappointing. But nothing's enticed him to come back. Not playing, yet. I don't know, but maybe.
And maybe nothing.
I think it's completely admirable, to be completely honest, because of, you know, he was a can't miss number one. I think could have moved to another team and then produced what he still did for the Colts. And could, you know, funnily enough, if he was there now, I would think they would be above Tennessee Titans possibly, because Carson Wentz is still, who's been better this year. It's still Carson Wentz.
Much better.
So,
look, if Andrew Luck is at peace with his decision to step away and not, you know, have anything football related in his life at this point in time, then more power to him.
He doesn't even watch many games, apparently. That's what I mean. He's just happy doing life, which is fine. Yeah, but it just interesting. I like it. So. On that note, that's it for us. Don't forget all our socials, Facebook and Twitter. As always, Twitter at Final Play Pod. And Facebook, I mean, easy, Final Play Podcast. You'll get all the links there, Spotify, SoundCloud. Also, don't forget to follow, if you're on Facebook, Eureka Sports Cards. Obviously, their website's gimco.com.au. Go ahead with your boys. How did you go with yours? That NBA filled up, yeah? Or was it NFL? Sorry.
Nah, NFL was fine. I think they had a few collegiate products in the last one, which I'm not really a big fan of. I actually jumped in on one of the latest NBA breaks just because I was feeling a little bit rich from a Christmas bonus that come in from work. So thank you very much for work on that. I was feeling a little ambitious on the NBA. Didn't do very well. I think I got the Raptors. So yeah, the potential was there. Potential was absolutely there.
This year's rookie cards involved?
Yeah, there was a few of this year's rookies. So yeah, no, absolutely. I was rather happy, but just when the packs get revealed and nothing comes out, you're just like, well, them's the breaks. Yeah.
If you got Scotty Barnes, that would be nice. One to keep. For 3 or 4 years, because he'll be all-star. I like that kid. I really like that kid.
Yeah, no, he's been very impressive. I think the latest NFL one is up there at the moment. So, check those guys out. Gimco.com.au, G-I-M-K-O. We're in the community tab of that website. So you click on the community tab. There's a blog section there. You can click on that. And then our podcast pop up on there. You can listen to it off the website or you can download us. So, check those guys out. Love what they do. So yeah, they're still powering on, you know, post Christmas. So as they do, so it's yeah, we're just they just charge on as they do.
Well, excellent. Well, my name's Jason Fig Jam Smith. I remember that one. I heard that for ages. That stood out like a sore thumb, that bad boy.
Oh yeah, that was excellent. That's just the first thing that sort of come to mind with that. I'm Miles. Just live your life, Plum. Yeah. So look, if you can be happy in what you're doing, you know, and retire with millions of dollars in the bank, then you know, be my guest.
Excellent. Have a good weekend, one. I would too. Why not?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
We're all kidding ourselves. Of course, we all would.
Yeah, no. Live your best life, and all you can do is hope to win the lotto one day.
Have a good week, everyone.
See ya.